Well, good morning, friends.
Good morning.
Welcome to this wet and chilly Sunday morning. Fall has arrived. If you didn't think it had arrived before, it has arrived now. But we're in a good warm place in the house of the Lord, and we're together in His name. So we'll have a good worship time this morning. The next Bible study is Wednesday, October 4th. Which will be here before you know it. It'll be here at the church. The lesson is from the film series, The Chosen. And if you want to know what the first one was like, you can talk to a number of folks who were here last Wednesday, and they found it pretty helpful, I think. The sign-up sheet is in the back of the church for anyone who wants to purchase 2024 calendars. When's the cutoff date for that?
Or
you could just order one box and raise the price.
Yeah, but see, I already have 31 people that want 31 calendars.
I know, but see, now you raise the price so they have to bid against each other.
No.
You're getting more money for Vacation Bible School. Don't you see the value of my plan here?
Yeah, I do, but I don't know if I want to.
Just try to have an original idea. Yes, Mother, go ahead and make the next announcement.
Okay, then, how about if I put you in charge of the calendar sale?
All right. They're now $15 a piece, and we're only ordering 25. And if you have a complaint, see her.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, that's responsibility. You go right back to that bathroom and you wash your mouth out with soap right now. And if I have to, I'll send a delegation from the women to make sure that your mouth is good and clean.
Okay.
Running for office.
Okay. All right. Yeesh. So, since I'm up, I'm going to do the rest of my announcing. We're getting the carpet clean. The carpet's clean on October 6th. That's not this Friday, but the next Friday. And a couple of us had thought it would be nice if some of us ladies got together and did some fall cleaning. Wash the windows and different things in here, and then that way when he comes through with the carpet cleaner, we'll be spick and span. So if you are interested in helping, we're
think I'm going to sit down for a while.
Operation Christmas Child, that's coming up. Saturday, October 14th, the Trinity United Methodist Church in Frederick, they are going to have an open house. Whether you are a leader in your church, group, or participate as an individual, we would love you to stop by at your convenience and meet with the year-round volunteers in our area that will be there to answer questions and support you in your shoebox ministry. It will also be a wonderful opportunity to learn about Operation Christmas Child if you are not currently involved. Please come and get updated information, get packing and fundraising ideas, speak with others that love the ministry and enjoy fellowship and yummy refreshments. Each group represented will receive free shoe boxes and other giveaways. If you know what they're talking about, the shoe boxes, where you get bundles of them and you fold them, they're going to give them out. They're going to hand them out. I think I'm going to try and make this. If somebody would like to go along with me, you know, and just, you know, see what they do and listen to their ideas and be, you know, you're welcome to ride along. RSVs are helpful for planning purposes, but if you forget, please come anyway. We would love to see you. So this is for Operation Christmas Child, and it's from Laura and Trinity United Methodist Church. So if you might be interested that Saturday, October 14th, to see me, okay? I can't go. Sugar. Well, no, the color fest don't worry me, but I can't go. I have family coming from Tennessee.
Take them along. Take them along.
I don't think you don't know my son Josh.
While you're standing up, you gonna talk about the offering box?
Oh yeah, I forgot that. We finally got our offering box. Mr. Stanbull made our offering box for us, and Brother Steve picked it up and brought it over yesterday. So it's a little different looking, but I put a sign up there so you know where to put the money. But I think it's a very pretty. It's simple, plain, but yet beautiful.
Yes.
It's just looking for that little love to be dropped in, isn't it?
Huh?
It's looking for that little love to be dropped in.
Yep.
Nancy, you going to talk about the...
Yes, I am. This coming Friday evening, we're having a painting class here. Karen was kind enough to put an insert in the bulletin. The sample has changed a little bit, but it's $30 per person. It's 6 to 8. And considering the other time we had like 40-some people, we have a much smaller crowd this time, so it's going to be in the basement of the church. But the money goes for new cushions, pew cushions. So anybody who can't go, I'm hoping that you'll at least contribute something to it, because this is our church. We should hear how it works.
Okay, thank you.
I'll be collecting money this Sunday and next Sunday.
There's a sign-up sheet for the choir. Brother Bob, I see that hand. Go ahead.
Just one item. If the BRF witness brochures are here, and I think they're very applicable for life, because the title of this is Search for Happiness. And I believe all of us really are looking for happiness so many times in our life. So back here, it's in kind of a goldish color, so avail yourselves of those and take a read of them. Thank you.
All right. That all? No other announcements. Last chance. Okay, I was told that I have to preach good today, so to keep people awake, because it's a rainy day. So I guess we'll start by having our call to worship and our opening prayer, and then you'll have to wake yourself up to sing. I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. And I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Yes, Lord, we affirm what the psalmist writes here, that you are in fact the source of all great goodness and righteousness, of grace and compassion. And it is to you that we give our thanks and praise, that we lift up our voices in honor and glory, because all of us, each and every one of us, owes you so much and loves you so much. And we thank you for the privilege that we may be together this morning, despite the rain outside, which we do thank you for, by the way, Father, because we needed it. But our spirits may be a little, oh my, it's a gray day. But our spirits are also, oh, it's a great day, because we get to be with the people of God and to worship him. And so, Lord, be pleased to receive our praises and our thanks this morning. And let your spirit rest upon us as we worship you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand, if you're able, to sing hymn number 211. 211. To him with the shelter in the time of storm on a rainy day, huh? Reminds me of the joke I heard years ago about the old-time Baptist preacher down in the mountains of Appalachia. He was invited to come to this little church down in Tennessee, near one of those places where, you know, they use those items with the copper tubing in them and something drips out the other side, you know, that might have a little. And the preacher went to the church and he said, I'm going to preach today about the evils of alcohol. And he preached on and he preached on and he preached on. And finally he wrapped up his sermon by banging his fist on the pulpit saying, I wish that every barrel and every bucket and every bottle would be poured out into the creek over there. Brother, song leader, come up and lead us. Song leader stands up and says, join with me in singing, shall we gather at the river? That's an old one. Anyway, we're going to pray over the offering as part of our morning prayer this morning. So what are your praises and your prayer requests today? Who has something that would like us to pray for? Raise your hand. Go ahead.
On the altar in front of you is my great-grandchild, Anderson. She was 18 months old when she died. There's a problem during her birth, and there's flowers up there just to honor her. I just found out she had died last month.
Just want to continue to remember those that we've had on the prayer list for quite some time. I'm not going to mention them because I might forget some of them. And also my wife, she continues to have problems, but we did get a commitment to the surgery be done on November the 8th, so she'll still have to suffer until that time unless the good Lord takes the pain and so forth away. But at least we've got it scheduled for November the 8th.
Good. All right.
Keep her in our prayers.
Bob?
A good report and a thanksgiving to the good Lord for watching my wife. Her back surgery went really good that she had a couple months ago, and she went for her final time to the doctor here Thursday, and now her x-rays look real good, and she don't have to get back for a year. We just thank God and for your prayers and his presence always on our behalf, watching over her with her other condition as well. May we all be lifted up by his grace.
All right. Amen. Any others? Go ahead, Nancy.
I think we need to thank God for the rain. We're so dry. It's been a gentle rain. We were expecting a horrible storm, and we've certainly got rain that we can use for our lawns and replenish our wells.
Yes.
I just want to keep Toby, our son Toby, on the prayer list. He goes for surgery Friday. Not sure of the time yet, but please keep him in your prayers as well as the surgery. For his ankle.
I'm happy to report that this week my wife had her second round of tests, and she doesn't have to be concerned about breast cancer. And we're very grateful for that. Said it was just one of those things when they were reading it, that they were looking for something that actually wasn't there. So we're very grateful for that. And the doctor said, apparently I'm going to be around for a little while longer to continue to annoy people when I had my visit on Thursday. So, all right, let's come together in prayer however you're most comfortable. Lord, we are grateful that we can come to you, knowing that your arms are open, that you're drawing us closer in, and that your ears are attentive to what we bring to you. That because you are our Father, you watch out for us and care about us and love us and listen. And so it is with grateful hearts and trust that we come to you this morning. We do pray for families that are grieving, for those who have been waiting for rain, and now the land is satisfied and their spirits are satisfied for a time. Lord, how much we rely on you to give us the very simplest things of everyday life. And when they're not there, how quickly we become aware of what we need from you. We do pray for Sister Patsy and for Linda, for Toby. We pray for the shoebox program for Christmas children. We thank you, Lord, that backpacks were given to children that will bless them and help them through this year. Lord, you're good to us in so many different ways. We see that around us, even in our little sanctuary this morning. We thank you for the for the offering stand or whatever we want to call it. All we know is, Lord, it's a place where we're going to give you a portion of the gifts that you have blessed us with. And we thank you for the craftsmanship, and we thank you for the opportunity to bless you and to praise you and to build up your kingdom. Lord, now as we come before you, we just want to say together the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to sing number 365. If you're able to stand, that's fine. And if not, that's okay too. 365. Scripture text this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 5, printed in your bulletins. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in the world. But may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Sermon title today is Beware the Lion. Beware the Lion. Years ago, my wife and daughters and I moved to East Berlin, Pennsylvania from Kokomo, Indiana. How many of you have ever heard of Kokomo, Indiana? No, it's not the same place as the Beach Boys song. I know, I could see it on their faces. How many of you have ever heard of Indiana? I just wanted to make sure that we're... Well, Kokomo is a small city, and in the 6 years that we lived there, it was a very busy place, because there once was a corporation named Chrysler. It's named something else now. But they had two transmission plants there, one that built transmissions for cars and one that built transmissions for trucks. Then there was another company that was their world headquarters that was in there, and you might have heard of AC Delco. Some of us might have remembered seeing a Delco radio in our GM cars or trucks. And so for a city the size it was at that time, there was a lot of industry. There was a lot going on in a small town, in a small city. And in Kokomo, there was a well-known chiropractor whose real interest lay in rescuing wild animals. And I don't mean possums and raccoons. His interest was in rescuing and later finding homes for big cats. Big cats, not little ones. Not lynxes. Not little ocelots. Outside his home, he had built a series of cages where the public could come and see some of these animals. And when I say a series of cages, I'm not kidding. They were built in, the animals were kept in double cages. Cages that were too high for them to jump up or climb out of, because there was also double netting over the top so they couldn't get out. So you could walk by on the sidewalk, you know, and you could look at a black panther. You could see some leopards. And the fun time was to go when they were feeding them. You'd be surprised how quickly chicken quarters can disappear down the mouth of a tiger. But you know, one thing that we noticed, and when we had visitors, we'd take them over there if the weather was nice, because it was all outside. But we noticed that these big cats, especially the tigers. Now, he didn't have any lions. He had a mountain lion, but he didn't have any lions, but he had tigers. And as a matter of fact, for a time, how many of you remember Mike Tyson, the boxer? For a while, Mike Tyson had a pair of white tigers. And then the money ran out to keep tigers. And so this chiropractor rescued these white tigers. And if you've never seen a tiger at the zoo, Everybody thinks, oh, tigers, they have stripes. They look neat. They're, oh, they're, you know, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. A tiger's paw is like that or larger, with the claws in. And tigers, males, can weigh 500 pounds. Imagine being knocked over by something with very large claws and very sharp teeth and weighs 500 pounds. And so people would come and look at the tigers, and they'd bring their children and look at the tiger and everything else. But if you were very careful and you stepped back and paid attention, you noticed something. The tigers never stopped watching the people. Never. They would watch one, and when they were gone, they would turn and they would watch the next one. And we were there one day, and a family had brought their 5-year-old and maybe their 2.5-year-old. And that little 2.5-year-old, you know, we think they're small and they walk and they toddle around and it's real cute. And it was safe from the cages, but the tiger was like this and paced alongside the child. And the tiger's eyes never left that little child until they went away. Now, what do you suppose that tiger was thinking when it saw that little child? I said to my wife afterward, for all the world, that tiger looked to me like he was thinking, snack. You know? That little 2.5-year-old. Because a tiger, even if it's in a cage, is still a predator, right? That's why we say, beware the lion. And in these verses, we're going to see the adversary who prowls around like a roaring lion that's always hungry. I want to start, though, I didn't read verses 1 through 4. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now, Peter is wrapping up this letter. He knows that you can only get so much into a letter. Peter, like Paul, always has more to tell and to teach, but he can't always cram everything in. If you've had an experience with your children, or maybe when they left home for the first time to go to college or something like that, maybe you remember thinking, I've had them for the last 18 years. But I don't think I taught them everything they need to know. And so those last couple weeks, you try to cram everything into their heads that they might need. Well, mom and dad, they've already gotten it. You know, they absorbed it from you. But we feel that way. And Peter is feeling kind of like that. There's more things I need to tell you. So he says in verses 1 through 4, he talks first of all to either elders or deacons or pastors or ministers, whatever you want to call them. He says to them, I'm one of you. I know what your work is like. Did Peter know what it was like to lead an unruly group? Right? He had the 11. Plus churches that he led. I know the challenges that you face. I know the burdens that you bear. Some of you who have lived a long time in the Christian faith know that your pastors at times, your ministers at times, have borne burdens that are hard to bear. And they have relied on the church to help them to carry them. That they couldn't have gone on without your support, without your prayers, without you standing behind them. Peter says, I know what it is that you face. But like you, I'm going to share in the glory of being privileged to serve and to suffer for Jesus. When you're young and you think that God is calling you to the ministry, you never really think about the privilege it is to serve. It is my privilege to serve you now as your pastor. You said to me, well, you know, we have this job and we need to fill it and everything else, and we want you to come do it. No, you don't see it from my perspective. My perspective is, it's my privilege to serve you as God has called me here, for as long as God calls. It is my privilege to be your servant. It's my privilege to suffer for Jesus. But as you saw in the Sunday school class this morning, most of us here in America right now don't have any idea what it's like to suffer for Jesus. We know what it's like to be annoyed for Jesus' sake. Or maybe harassed, as Dr. Jeremiah said in this morning's video. And then he says to them, feed, tend, and care for the flock which God has given you to watch over. It's my job, it's my calling, it's my desire to do this and feed you every Sunday that I can be here. It's my calling and my desire to serve you and care for you if you're in the hospital, if you're sick, if you have a need, if you need someone to talk to. That's part of my calling, to do that for you. Peter says, that's what we do. Peter says, I know what it's like. I've done it. I do it. I know that you do it as well. So don't do this, though, Peter says, just for money. Don't do this for money. Well, now, do preachers have to eat? Do their families have to eat? Do they have bills to pay? All right, Peter isn't saying, don't do, if the church pays you something for your services, that's fine. But don't do it because it's a job. I have had people, young people, well-intentioned young people in their mid-20s. You know, I graduated from college. I can't seem to find a job I like. Maybe God's calling me into ministry. And I say to them, that may be true. But God is not calling you to a job. Because a job is something you can quit whenever you feel like. Right? To a certain degree, a job is anything that you can quit whenever you want. You know, Jerry can stop being the mayor of Rocky Ridge anytime he wants. He just writes his letter of resignation and says, that's it. I've had enough of this nonsense. I was trying to think of somebody else, Jerry, but they're all retired. Yeah, you're not going to quit being retired, that's right. Just to help the preacher out with an example. No, none of that. No, he says, do this of your own free will and your desire to serve God and his people. And then he says, pastors, be examples, not bosses or CEOs. You're a part of the congregation, you're not its overlord. I've known pastors who thought they were the ones who made all the decisions and the congregation was expected to just go along. That is a recipe for trouble in the long run, by the way, but that's not where we're going with this. He's not their CEO. He's their servant, or she's their servant. Faithful service ensures a lasting reward. I've been doing this now for almost 44 years. I feel good about what I've done. It wasn't always easy. There were times when it was. There were times when I've said to God, you know, I think you made a mistake. You're not holding up your end here, Lord. I'm just tired of all this nonsense. Why don't you let me do this? Why didn't you let me finish going to graduate school so I could teach history at college? I'd have been much happier. And the Lord always says, Which is more important, you're being happy or you're being obedient to your call? And then I always say, well, now, Lord, when you put it that way, again, it's being obedient. But then he moves from the pastors and the leaders in the church, and Peter says in verse 5, he talks to the younger believers. He talks to the coming generations. Submit yourself to your elders, you younger people, and all the rest of you be submissive too to one another. Who did you learn from as you were growing up in the faith? If you were a young person and you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ, and as you moved into your 20s and your 30s, you learned from your parents probably first of all, right? And then you learned from your Sunday school teachers. And you may have learned a thing or two from your pastors. And you may have learned more things from the people who were older in the faith than you. That's how it worked for me. I mean, my parents didn't know anything about Jesus except to curse his name. But in the church, there were Christian families. There was a pastor and his wife. There were others I trusted, a Sunday school teacher that showed me how to live. And Peter says, pay attention. Pay attention. Younger people, listen to those who are seniors in the faith to you. Someone posted this week on Facebook on that one of the pages that I follow that said, young people, think about getting to know and gain experience from the elder, your elders in the faith. They have a lot they can teach you. And I thought that was well and good, except that now I'm one of them elders. Who do I go to? All the old people that I used to go to are now with the Lord. And everybody else comes to me and said, oh, you've been around the block a few times. Yeah, thanks. I don't need to be reminded of that. But that's part of life as a Christian. We help others as we go along, even as others helped us when we were growing. Because, believe it or not, some of us old people know a few things. We really do. And then Peter says, let everyone be humble and gracious towards each other. God is pleased by our humility. He rewards us when we behave accordingly. Now I want to get to where the title was going. Verses 6 through 10, really, Peter's talking about making sure that we know our place in God's world. Be humble, and God will lift you up. Lift yourself up, there's a fall coming. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How many of us have found the truth of that message? Casting our cares upon him, because he cares for us. When we were just going through this business with Debbie's mammogram, and we thought, oh my goodness, what on earth is this all about? And a lot of the time through my mind was running the song from this verse. I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all my burdens down at your feet. And any time I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. And he takes them away. So give your worries, concerns, and cares to Jesus. He cares for you. He cares about you. And he will take care of the things that concern you, because what concerns you concerns him. Then Peter says, be sober. Be vigilant. Be on your guard at all times. And stay alert. How many of us have ever lived our Christian life on autopilot? You know what autopilot is. We get up in the morning, we open our eyes and we say, "Good Lord, it's morning." Instead of, "Oh, good Lord, it's morning." And then we stumble through our morning routine and we get downstairs and we pour ourselves our morning brew of it's either coffee or tea, whatever it is you have. And you get your bowl of cereal and you sit down and you look at it and you say, "Thank you, Father, for this food. Amen." And then I pull out my, you pull out your Our Daily Bread and you read that and you say, "Oh, okay, I've done my devotions for the day. And now I get on to everything else." Does this begin to sound familiar? We're not really alert. We're just kind of doing what we've always done. And then, bam! Something comes along and kicks our routine over. What do I do? Where do I go? Who do I talk to? What was that Bible verse again? Be on your alert. Be on your guard. Be watchful all the time. For you have an adversary, Peter says. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says to us that Jesus is our advocate before the Father. But we also have an adversary. Someone who does not mean us well. Someone who means harm, both now and eternally. He means nothing but evil and bad for you, so you've got to watch out. You have to be alert. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Just like those tigers that always watched people in those cages. A lion is always looking for prey. A lion is always looking for something to devour. Something it could kill and consume. And your adversary, Satan, is like a lion. Except he wants to kill you now and in eternity. He wants to consume your soul and drag you down to hell for eternity. He is hungry for souls that he can corrupt, and he looks for them all the time. Brother Danny, how much corruption is available on the internet?
A lot.
A lot. We all know that. We all know. That's just one place. I was watching a football game last night. College football. And what comes up during the intermissions? Beer commercials. I don't know if you drink a beer or not. I don't. Because I had alcoholic parents. I know what happens. I don't want to have that. But now there's a new thing. You know what that new thing is? And you'll see it this afternoon too if you watch an NFL game. Betting. Wagering. On games. And you think, how can that be bad? How quickly does it go from me, theoretically, spending a dollar on a game that I don't care anything about, to getting hooked on wagering, and all of a sudden start spending the mortgage money? And then when I lose it, I have to get it back so I get further in? And we say, "Oh no, that never happened." Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And that's another way that the devil tries to steal and kill. The world that we live in is ruled over by God, but right now Satan has a lot of sway. And he is trying to reap as many souls as he can. And you say, "Oh, Pastor Ed, you're sounding like one of them old fashion people." Well, yeah, okay. I'll accept that criticism. Because, you know, there were a whole lot of old-fashioned people for over 2,000 years before we ever got to this part of the world and this time. And, you know, they had known just a few things before. You think there wasn't drinking before? Of course there was. You think there wasn't gambling before? Of course there was. And yet, God delivered people from those things and so much more. Resist the devil and his attacks. Be steadfast, knowing that other people of similar faith around the world are facing the same kinds of things. None of us stands alone. We experience the same kinds of attacks that other believers do in other places. Together, united in Christ, we are strong. And it doesn't hinge upon how I feel. Because the facts remain, no matter what my feelings are. You can stand firm with others. Then Peter says, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, perfect, establish, strengthen, and confirm you. Your heavenly Father, who has called you into his glorious presence through your faith in Jesus Christ, he will give you the strength you need as you need it. Not before you need it, but when you need it. He will empower you when you need it. You don't get a certain amount in advance. You get what you need as you need it. And he will perfect you. How many of you looked in the mirror this morning? Come on. How many of you looked in the mirror this morning? Right? Even those of you who don't have much hair on top, you probably looked in the mirror. Right? You know? I looked in the mirror this morning because I was shaving. And as I was putting the shaving foam on my face, man, there's a lot of gray hair there. Who's that old guy that's looking back at me? That can't be me. Do you ever think that? You look in the mirror and you say, what's that? Where did he or she come from? Because on the inside, I'm only 30. Or 18. I mean, if you're going to aim big. But somehow or another, we got wrinkles. Which is hardly fair. But you know, we get them. I looked in the mirror this morning, I got a new one right here. Why? Because my wife says, stop squinting. I said, I can't help it. They keep making the print too small and I've already got trifocals. What am I going to do? Wear microscopes next? I mean, come on. He will perfect us. He is already bringing you and I to a perfection that is not necessarily visible on the outside to us. But other people see it, even if we don't know that. And you say, now, Pastor Ed, how do you know that? That just sounds crazy. What are you talking about? All right, I am not. I will tell you something that happened to us when we were down at the beach the other week. And this is not to blow our own horns, my wife's and mine. But we were sitting on the sun deck this one day, and Hurricane Lee had made the sea much too rough to go out. So we were sitting on the sun deck, and we were watching the waves and everything else. And you know, there's this couple that's a little bit older than my wife and I. And he was sitting in his wheelchair, and his wife had a camera, had her cell phone. and she was trying to take a selfie. How many of you have ever taken a selfie? Right? How easy is it sometimes to take a selfie? I'm kind of sitting there casually watching them while I'm watching the waves, and I could hear her say to her husband, "Well, I cut my head off again." You know, which apparently is not so hard to do. I've done it myself. So I heard her do this, and she was getting more frustrated, and I just walked over and I said, "Can I help you by taking a picture?" And she said, "Thank you so much. I'd be very happy if you'd do that." So she stood behind him. I took a couple of pictures. I said, "Now bend over and give him a kiss on the cheek." Being the amateur photographer, what the heck? They can always say no. And she giggled a little bit. And she bent over and kissed him on the cheek, and I took a picture. And I handed her the camera, and I turned to go back to sit where we were sitting. And he said to me, the husband said to me, "Wait a minute." I said, "Yes. What can I do for you?" He said, "You're a pastor, aren't you?" And I said, "Okay, I haven't even told you my name. We're sitting halfway across the deck. How is this man knowing this?" And I said, "Yes, I have to own up to that. Yes, yes, I am." I said, "Why? Is there something that you need?" And he said, "Oh, no. But from the minute I heard you ask my wife if you could help take our picture, I knew you were by your voice." And I thought about that one a long time. I still think about that one a long time. I thought I sounded just like I always do to me. But something that God has perfected in me reached this person's heart. And we interacted with them a couple of more times while we were down there. But it made me feel awful humble that God chooses to perfect my voice and my personality to His glory. He does it for all of us. And so, since God does that, hang on. Don't worry about the lion. Know where the lion is, so you can keep an eye on it. But don't worry about him, because your Heavenly Father is protecting and shaping and perfecting you all the time. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful that you shape us into your image, your likeness, that you make us into the persons you want us to be, that our lives, yes, Lord, even our voices give you glory. Thank you that you consider us worthy as your children to be loved and shaped and blessed. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here in the church this morning that you will continue to shape them into the likeness of Christ, and that you will also, by your Spirit's power, give them the ability to stay alert and on guard, because even when we get old, that doesn't mean that Satan stops. He still attacks. I pray your blessing upon each one of them and your protecting power this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to sing number 487, which is Amazing Grace, and we're going to sing 1 and 4. Just verses, the first and the last.
Save a wretch like me.
Now, I do want to say that this message brought to a close our series in 1 Peter. In the month of October, we're going to be doing a series of messages that I've sort of working titled Unfamiliar Exits from the Bible Highway. How many of you have ever gone on a trip to somewhere where you didn't know where anything was? You know, you're driving along the interstate and you think, man, I'm getting hungry, but I wonder that they didn't have any of those blue signs along the highway. You know? So there's no gas, there's no food, there's no bathrooms. So I guess we're not going to get off here. And sometimes people just, there's an exit there, but they don't get off. That's what these messages are going to be about. There are five Bible books that most people don't get off and look at very much. And I left the Song of Solomon out. I really struggled over that. I was going to put the Song of Solomon in there, but I didn't. But I'd like you for next week to start by looking at the book of Habakkuk. And you'll say, where is that? That's why you have an index in your Old Testament. Look up Habakkuk, take a chance and read through it. And we'll be covering the book, because most of these are very, very short, in just one message. Shall we pray? Lord, now as we depart to serve you, we thank you for the time that we have spent in your presence and for our fellowship with our brothers and sisters. Thank you for the assurance from your word. Guide, lead, and direct us this week as we serve you, we ask. And now may grace and mercy and peace from God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit be with you now and every day. Amen. Praise God.